Annam means this Jagat. It's called Brahman. Brahman means what? First of all, it is real. Second, it is sacred. It is God Himself. See, what a beautiful thing. That is why we have certain habits. Our Hindu religion tells us that certain things have to be done, respecting, revering. For example, one should not spit into food. One should not spit into what we call a river. One should not do certain pollute things. So, trees are sacred and rivers are sacred. Mountains are sacred. Are we making them sacred? Or are we trying to realize because they are already sacred? What are we trying to do?
Trying to
now recognize for what they are. Even from a pragmatic point of view, without these things, suppose there are no mountains, your life becomes defective in some way. And of course, if there are no rivers, you can see what happens. If the trees are not there, then you see what happens to life, like deserts. Mm-hmm. A desert, what is there? No water, therefore no plants, therefore no birds or any such things. And would people like to go and stay? Mm-hmm. On the other hand, study history. Where did civilizations spring forth? Wherever there is plenty of water, that is where civilization has come. Huge cities, especially in the ancient times. You know why? Because who is going to supply water for this? And then rivers also function as highways for merchandise and other things. Communication. So, two things. What are those two things? Two T's. Two T's. What are they? Three T's. It's transportation, telecommunication, and Tirthankar.
The third one nullifies the first.
He understood correctly. No? So you see, these two are most important. Transportation, telecommunication. Where these two are possible in an extensive manner, that is where the commerce, the civilization, the city life, and this everything grows. So these are possible only the rivers, the seas, they facilitate this too. Yeah, communication and transportation.
Well, that's why the scientists are looking for water on the planet, because that will be
because without water, let there be anything else.
Yeah.
But without water no life is possible.
Yes.
Yeah. Life comes only out of water. So that is the most wonderful thing, important thing. The whole world, what as I said, Jagat is nothing but manifestation of Brahman in a gross form. So, Bhrigu realized everything is sacred. What happens when a person realizes everything is sacred? Sacred means real. They go together. It is real and it is sacred. It is sacred, therefore it is real. God is real, therefore God is sacred. God is sacred because He is the only reality. In fact, you say sacred. Why do you use the word sacred?
To revere.
No. Why do we do that? What is the psychology behind it?
Reverence.
Because it's the most important thing.
Because you can rely upon it. Mother is sacred. Why is mother sacred? Because her love for you is absolutely reliable, permanency. See the point? We all want permanency. Whichever gives more permanency, that is more sacred to us. Suppose you want to be happy. There are two objects. One object gives you this much and for a short time. Another object gives you this much for a long time. Which one you consider as better value?
The second one that gives more, but more than how come the people who are not spiritually inclined still they consider God as sacred? To them, they are not getting so much of happiness, right?
How do you know that?
Are they getting that much of
happiness? How do you know?
They are, then they will become
they
spiritual.
May not be, there are so many people who don't use the word God, but they are spiritual. Spirituality and accepting God has no correlation. There are people who accept God but not spiritual. There are people who are spiritual but do not accept God. Buddhists, do they accept God?
No.
But for them, compassion, they say, a tree cannot be cut, a river cannot be polluted, etc. What are they doing?
Spiritual.
Yeah. They are simply expressing spirituality. So, anyway, the question here, if we consider something sacred, why do we do that? Why do we consider, or what is it we consider as something sacred? First of all, it should be real. Because if it is unreal, you can never consider it. So, the less something is real, the less sacred it is. So what is it that is something less real means what? That which lasts a shorter time is of less reality than that which lasts for a
long time.
Is it not a fact? Come to think a little bit, use a little bit. Yeah.
But somehow this idea got stuck in my mind that sacredness is the most important thing that you value.
Yes. And what is it you value?
Permanence.
So, the happiness.
And what is it that gives you happiness? That which lasts longer and better value, is it not?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
See how much psychology is behind. The less happiness it gives, the less reality.
Right.
Okay. So we are not talking about illusion. Anything that lasts such a short time is an illusion. Like a flash of lightning.
Illusion?
Yes. Anything that lasts only for a short time is an illusion. So if it lasts for some time, that is less of an illusion. Only that which lasts forever is real.
That point.
Yeah. Okay. So, what the first what is the difference here? We are taught from the beginning the world is unreal by post-Shankarites. What is the Veda telling? Is Veda that there is no unreality at all. Everything is real. Ultimately, Shankarites also will say yes, this world also is nothing but Brahman with name and form. But in the beginning they say it is all mithya, unreal, is what they say. Vedas have no such illusions. They never say it is an illusion. They always say it is from lower reality to higher reality. From a lower truth to higher truth. Not from an untruth to truth. This is the speciality of Vedic teaching. See how wonderful it is. That's why Swamiji asked us to study Vedas, because after studying Shankara, hearing a bits and pieces, bhajako vindam, bhajako vindam, go vindam, bhaji modamate, when the death comes, what is going to save you, and all those things. So give up your wife, your kids, your this and that and all those things. And when convenient, that is what people do. Shankara told us. As long as they are serving the purpose, they won't do it. He twist, people twist. Anyway, so Vedic vision, everything is Brahman only, but this is a lower type of Brahman. So what was the original teaching of Varuna to Bhrigu? Bhrigu wanted to learn about Brahman. What is Brahman? That which is the reality. And this reality, however sacred it is, what is its nature? It comes and it goes. See, what was the teaching? From where all the beings come, in which all the beings live, and unto which all beings return. So what is the study now from the statement, come, stay and return, change. If it is changeful, then that cannot be real Brahman. That can be a way, it can be a pointer, but it cannot be the actual reality. So, why? Because that from which they are coming, that remains ever. That ayaram, gayaram. He who comes, he will also go. This is the truth. Everything, anything that comes, it comes, it goes. But that which never comes, never goes. So what is that? That from which, that cause which is the root of all this phenomena, that's not going to change. That is Brahma. He said, that is Brahma. He did not say, the beings who come out, they are Brahma. What did he say? That cause is Brahman. Yatova imani bhutani jayante, ena jatani jivante, yat prayantya visamvishanti iti tagum ho vacha, tapasa brahma vijignasasva, tapo brahmeti, satapo tapyata, satapas tattva. So, the first step, for as a first step, this is the only reality we know. So consider this known reality as Brahman. Don't say it is Abrahman. Consider it as sacred. By considering it as sacred, what is happening? Our mind also is becoming imbued with sacredness. Then it becomes ready for the perception of higher truth.
So it's just stepping stone.
Yeah. Not only that, it's a simultaneous process. I am becoming Brahman. Because I am becoming Brahman, I am also perceiving whatever I perceive as Brahman. Do you see? Don't you see? So, when you love somebody, see, suppose you meet somebody, and immediately you like that person. You fall in love with that person. Two things are happening at the same time. You are becoming a loving person. How do you love that person?
Okay.
Unless you become a loving person, how can you love that person? Do you see the point?
Yeah.
If you are not a loving person, however lovable that person is, you cannot love that person. So, the moment you are loving that person appears in your eyes as what?
Special.
Lovable. No, I am talking about this word, lovable.
Yes.
Is it not?
Yes.
So, who can be made lovable? Whether the person is lovable or not is a different issue.
Yeah.
But because of your loving capacity, the object has become
lovable.
Lovable.
Yes.
So, that is simultaneously it is affecting you. So, these are the two separate processes, but they become simultaneous process. What is it? You become a loving person and whatever you see becomes lovable. Suppose there is some object which is lovable, which will bring out the capacity of loving from within you, and it is transforming you also into a lovable person. This is how the mutual process goes on.
Oh.
So what the Vedanta, my Vedas is telling you, that you are not a loving person at this time. But what you experience is in reality a very lovable universe. Why is it a lovable universe? Because it is already Brahman. It is not an, you are not making the world as a Brahman. It is already Brahman. But you are not able to appreciate because you are not sacred, you are not pure. So this tapas makes you so see the reality in it. What did I say? So this world also is Brahman. What was saying earlier? This world is not Brahman. Now I said world is Brahman. What a contradiction. What is meant? What is meant is this is also nothing but Brahman. But as Brahman, as original Brahman, this is not because this is Jagat. That which is comes and goes. If something comes from a cause, the effect. Is there any difference between cause and effect?
No.
If the effect must be nothing but a cause. But unless you go to the cause, you cannot have 100% realization of what it is. Let me illustrate why it is so. Suppose there is a very beautiful, very first class mango seed. First class mango seed. Then what do you do? Bring it, put it in the earth and go on. So, it is, if all the circumstances are 100% right, then the result should be a first class mango tree. But all the circumstances may not be 100% correct. So, it may be that it doesn't grow properly, things like that. So, you will not be able to appreciate. But if you go to the cause and inquire about it, oh, this is a seed that came from a most marvelous mango tree. That means all the potentialities are here. This is only just as an illustration. That's why first you go to the roof, then if you know what is the roof, then you come down, then the staircase, the walls, everything is of the same material. So you know 100% what is the reality. After that you know everything is nothing but the same reality presented in a different form.
But here Maharaj started with, they didn't go to the roof, I mean to the root cause,
yeah.
But started from the grossest element, Anna, and they said Annam, Annam.
He is leading gradually to the roof. That is why he said you go to the cause. Going to the cause means going to the roof. So you have to start your journey from where you are.
But why did it say that the grossest thing is Brahman itself without even going into the root or the source?
So what it means is previously, before you did your tapasya, how were you looking upon this world?
Unreal.
Yeah.
As something different.
Mm.
Now you have improved upon that situation.
Mm.
Certainly it is better. You come across a person
and
you don't love that person. What would be your reaction towards that person?
Neutral.
So now you are asked to love that person. Then is it not a much better reaction now?
Mm.
So slowly taking the person step by step.
Well, that is in sync with, this approach is in sync with Bhakti Marga. But when we, in other cases, in Jnana Marga, when it says, I'm not the body, I'm not the mind, so discarding and then first going into the root cause.
This is what I already pointed out. The Shankara's followers have taken this route. Whereas the Vedas, do you ever come across a not give up your body and mind and all those things?
No.
There are indications, like in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, neti neti hovacha. not this, not this, means not what you perceive. But there also, when he says neti neti, he has not gone to the extremity of Shankara. What he is telling is, this is Brahma, no doubt what you see. But this is not the complete reality.
Mm.
Go beyond this. This, that's why I like this so much.
Mm.
Maharaj, it is more applicable, Maharaj. We'll accept, if we accept rather than neti neti.
You know, the thing is that we can't compare these things. For some people, that path applies. For some people, this path is more suitable. I like this path. This is, as you said, this is more in line bhakti mishrita jnana rather than complete dry. And this world is not real, this accepting breakfast time and lunch time and the you know, how many people are capable of doing that kind of neti neti? Very few people. That's why even Thakur didn't like it. Turiyananda, he started doing all those things. Then he first thing he said was, why are you not coming to see me? No, I am studying Vedanta.
Mm-hmm.
Then he said, what is the essence of Vedanta?
Mm-hmm.
Brahma Satyam Jagan. What is there to study? Yeah. And you are neglecting coming to me, you are seeing Brahma. And if you also Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, Ramakrishna Mithya, Ramakrishna Mithya, if you practice, what would you gain?
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing he said was, don't confuse your brain with too many studies. This is the essence. Second, next step, he sang a song. Ami Achi Aramarma Achi Bhavna Ki Achi Ama. Turiyanji said, my life was completely turned topsy-turvy. Now, my mood is Ma Ma. It is Totapuri. Ultimately, Totapuri practice that kind of thing. And what happened to Totapuri in the end?
Yeah,
after stomach ache, everything is unreal except in the stomach ache. It's very difficult. Neti neti, we misunderstand. It is not to deny when we say the body is not Brahma, or you say, I am not the body. It is not to say the body is non-Brahma. It is not complete.
Partial
manifestation of Brahma. Something is hiding.
Yeah.
So find out what is the reality, what is Brahma in its entirety.
Oh.
Then when you come back, you will never say anything is unreal, because unreality, as I said, has no existence. How can you say something is unreal? See, if something is existing, it must have a reality. You can't simply saying it is unreal, it is not going to disappear. Will the body disappear by saying it is unreal? It will go back, the elements which constitute the body, it goes back to the Rishna.
Mm-hmm.
You can't deny them. But this is a much more practical way.
So, Maharaj, it is like going until, neglecting everything until the experience is complete?
Go the present state and still go forward, until there is no place to go still forward. Until you reach the highest goal. Then when you look back, you say, the whole thing is one unit, one reality. That should be the reality.
So, Maharaj, that means all Upanishads are not completely, totally Jnana-marga. They have Bhakti Mishrita in them. They can be categorized, right?
You can say that. Because this, no Upanishad has ever said, I am not the body, I am not the mind. Where do you get that idea?
Shankara.
It is Shankara's interpretation. But Shankara's interpretation is only one interpretation.
Yeah.
What about Ramanuja's interpretation?
And
what about Madhvacharya's interpretation?
Right.
Though I don't like much of Madhvacharya's interpretation, Ramanujacharya's is a beautiful interpretation, but no interpretation or ever interpretation is only partial explanation. Nothing is 100%. So long as you are using your intellect, your understanding cannot go 100%. Only when you go into samadhi, you have 100% understanding what it is. Every philosophy is defective. Because you are looking through the intellect. I am looking through one window, you are looking through the other window. And both are colored windows. Both of us are quarreling that this sky is blue color, and you are saying, no, it is red color. Of course, that animal which lives in this tree, some are saying blue, some are saying green, some are saying yellow, but the man under says, yes, all the colors, and to add to the confusion, it also sometimes is no color. It's the most wonderful way of putting things until you become one with the reality. Reality is only understood partially. You are separate. Separated means limitedness. You are limiting. This is the point. You are the limitation. The moment you draw a line and say, this is me, you have already made that vast thing, a limit to. This is the outside me, this is me. You are limiting it. So, as a human beings, as a human minds, we can never attain, know what is that reality, unless you become one with that reality.
Why don't you like Madhavacharya? Because he was a Dvaitavad.
Who?
Madhavacharya.
Some of his, any Acharya, there are two elements there. One element is his philosophy, his explanation. That is defective. But as far as sadhana is concerned, it is exactly the same. Yeah. It makes no difference. We are impure, we have to be pure. We are selfish, we have to be unselfish. We are not having devotion to God, we must have devotion to God. In this there is no differentiation at all. So, he has realized. But something was troubling him. Have I reached the highest goal? Because what is the test of reaching the highest goal? Chidyante sarva samshaya. All doubts will come. Have I reached or have I not reached? Yeah. Bengalis are very wise people. So some of their wisdom teachings are very good. Shall I eat? Or shall I not eat? If you have the doubt, don't eat. Shall I go to the toilet? Or shall I not go to the toilet? Definitely go to the toilet.
When in doubt, don't. When in doubt, don't.
Oh.
This was a phrase in our English class.
No, that doesn't apply there. When you are in doubt, should I eat or not?
Yeah.
Don't.
Then don't, yeah.
When you are in doubt, you should go to the
toilet. Oh, yes, please. That's an exceptional case.
No, it's not an exceptional case.
No.
Yeah.
Many situations. Shall I go to this person's house or not?
Yeah.
You have to think about it.
Yeah.
Or shall I go to this party or not? Certain things like that.
Mm.
So some things, have a positive value when you don't do it. Some things have a positive value when you definitely do it.
Yeah.
So, the doubt came. Have I reached the highest? So that very doubt proves that he has not reached. Then he went, what did the father say? He approached the father. Am I right? He said, no, tapasa, brahma, vijigna, same thing. To Prajapati told to Indra.
Yeah.
However, did I reach the goal? No, another 32 years.
Yeah. But Maharaj, the doubt will only come when the mind has gotten purified, because in the same case,
the mind hasn't realized. It has not realized because it is not purified. So this tapasya is to further purify the mind. That's all. Once the mind is pure, the immediately the truth flashes, intuition flashes. So then he went and did tapasya. Then what was his second realization? Prano brahmeti vyajanat. What was the test? From whom all the whole universe comes out, all the living beings comes out, and in whom it lives, and unto whom it returns. So our bodies, where from they come? From a dead matter or from a living matter? Prana. Is there any living creature is born out of a dead being? Only prana. See how wonderful it is? So from prana, prani comes. And how does it live? Living means what? Maintaining the prana. See, why do we eat? Because that transforms itself into something called prana. What is that prana? It's something wonderful. Because has anybody seen prana?
No.
Can you see prana through microscope or telescope or any scope? Can't see. It is subtle. It is not physical. Anything subtle cannot be seen. Why?
Because our instruments are limited.
Because it is subtle. Yeah, because subtle.
Yeah, we are using gross instrument to see subtle.
Right. So that is not possible. Prana cannot be seen. Prana can be inferred. Because the prana is its own proof. Even breathing is not prana. Because you can put lung machine and make the, you know, there are so many heart that you can take out the heart and put it in the machine and it is beating. And many things they can do. That is no proof of prana at all. Or a car is traveling. So if a child sees, oh mama, car is going that way, as though it has got a prana. It has no prana. Prana has got some special characteristic. We know what it is. So this food that we eat is what for? To maintain the prana. Prani lives only by as long as there is prana. And where does it merge again? Prana merges only in prana. So when a person dies, as we say, the body, then that prana element goes back into the prana element. What is called pancha mahabhuta elements, they go into the pancha mahabhuta elements. So that's why they divided the human personality into three bodies, sthula, sukshma and karana. So accepting this ananda, linga sharira or sushupti, this annamaya kosha goes into the
sthula
sharira. So the karana sharira merges in the anandamaya kosha. But in between these two, prana, mano and vijnanamaya, they are subtle, sukshma. So, it is out of prana alone prana comes. A physical matter cannot give birth to prana. It can only provide physical matter, physical instrument. That's all. Is it point clear? Our eating is only transformed somehow, that mysterious process takes place. Whatever you eat, that transforms into prana. No, not merely energy, prana. Yeah. That nobody can prove what prana is. So that is why Bhrigu has realized that it is out of prana these creatures are born, it is in prana that they live, and it is unto prana that they return. Pranam prayanti abhisamvishanti iti tad vijnaya. Having learned, he was not free from doubts. Then he came back to Father. So I realized that prana is Brahman. It is much more subtler than Annamaya Kosha. But he had a doubt. So he said, it is not enough. Can you teach me further? What did the Father say? Go and do? I have already told you. You don't need to come. Go and do tapasya. But why did he go to the Father?
Just to make sure.
To make sure that he is on the right path and he should do further, and also to confirm that what he realized is
correct.
Correct. So what happens when we realize that we are all really pranis? Identity with prana. Prana becomes sacred. Prana is equated with Brahma. When prana is equated with Brahma, then what, you know what happens? Moral life starts then. You cannot hurt any being. Because your prana, there is nothing called my prana and your prana. If my prana is hurt, will I not become hurt?
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody else's prana is hurt, will not that person hurt?
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, if somebody else is hurt, who is hurt?
I.
Me. Because I have come to that stage, above the body, then my prana, your prana, insect's prana, bird's prana, fish's prana, and any prana is exactly the same prana is functioning in everybody. How can you, knowing that, how will you hurt yourself? So, what happens? Tremendous powers will come. With this very, he as it were, you know how it is. Suppose you have got a tap, some water is flowing there from your tank. Then you some amount of water you have. Then if anybody comes and asks you water within that capacity, you can give. But very soon, imagine many people are coming, your tank is exhausted. What can you give? Supposing you go to the river, then you can give to any number of people, say perpetually it is flowing. That is what is called pranic healing. See what happens? What is, according to the theory, what is a disease? Imbalance of the prana. Some human beings is not having enough prana shakti. They are less. So they don't, that is why the body has become defective. So what does this man do who has identified himself with the prana? He has vast resource of prana. He simply says, okay, if you don't have, I am going to give you. It is not his prana, but he has access to the prana, as it were. This is called pranic healing.
So, Maharaj, that's a very good way to at least raise the consciousness to that level, right?
If we can raise, as I said, you become a very moral person. Because you realize, even a small insect, you can't deliberately hurt it. Because you feel, should I do it? How can I do it? Because if somebody pricks my hand, then I feel pain. Will it not feel pain? Did not Thakur feel pain when he saw somebody stuck a pin in the anus of that dragonfly or grasshopper or something like that? Can he, later on he could not see Bali and other things. So you see what level he has reached. A much higher level. The highest level. But if a man has reached that level, he has also reached the pranic level. How can the man do anything wrong? So, then that person also can use that pranic level to be very loving. Love means what actually? Tell me, what is love?
Protection.
To feel the oneness with
others. It's prana. not with the body, but with the prana. So
oh,
you,
yes, that is true.
Yeah, with the prana, then you love. It is not the external thing that you love. If that person is unhappy, you feel unhappy. If that person is happy, you feel happy. At pranic level, you don't want to give any pain. On the other hand, you want to give as much happiness as possible. A new vision opens when a man reaches this height. Mm-hmm. Then there is no Hindu, there is no Christian. Every saint is in his eyes. All are exactly the same. Small, big, human, non-human, it doesn't make any difference. So Varuna realized this, went to his father. He gave exactly the same teaching and said that you realize, because doubt has come.
Okay.
And again, but doubt means he has not reached the highest. So the same thing, he said, so find out, is the prana the highest cause? From where everything has come, and there is it has not come from any other cause.
No.
You see,
mm-hmm.
So then he goes and thinks deeply. And what did he realize? Mano brahmeti vyajanat manaso hevakal vimani bhutani jayante manasa jatani jivante manah prayantya visam vishanti te. Tad vijnaya punareva varunam pitaram upasasara adhihi bhagavo brahmeti tagum hovacha tapasa brahma vijignasasva tapo brahmeti satapo tapyata satapastatva. The next realization is Mano Brahmeti Vyajanat. Mind is Brahman. So, what is the origin of prana?
Brahman.
How is mind origin of prana? Prana is born out of mind. Mind has come out, the prana has come out of mind. What is mind? It's very subtle. And it is made up of ideas, thoughts, feelings, imaginations, ideation, vritti. So how did prana come out of vritti? Okay, let me put it in this way, you know. Supposing, you know, one day you are very tired. Come home from office after many hours of work, and then you come. And you, all that you want to do is eat something and go to bed. Imagine that you are a great fan of cricket. And you just say, I will quickly see the headlines and go to sleep. And as soon as you turned on, a cricket match has just started. Or, what is that other thing? How to become a millionaire or something like that. Who wants to be a millionaire? Right. What happens to your tiredness? So before that the prana was about to, you know, extinguished. But as soon as the cricket injection came, immediately this, even if other people die also, so you get annoyed. Is this the right time for see the point,
yeah.
In whichever we love, it's an idea, a thought, that loving thought brings up the prana, as it were. All our tiredness vanishes. Have you not seen?
Yes.
Whatever you love, all your tiredness vanishes. And if you don't love, even if you are very enthusiastic, you see, your prana almost comes down like blood. You see, like blood, low blood pressure, like that it comes down. Have you not seen?
Yes.
So, what is controlling the prana?
Mind.
So, whichever is controlling, is the origin of
prana.
pranam.
Maharaj, I have a doubt here.
No, no, you don't think, that's why you have got doubts. So even from the ordinary point of view, you see, there is a desire in everybody to live.
Yes.
So how does he maintain the prana? See, let us say, how does prana, a creature, originate? Say, husband and wife, they were not husband and wife, they were man and woman. They get married because they love each other. From them, they think, let us have a child, progeny. And out of their union comes what? A child. So what is the origin of the prana?
Thought, desire.
The desire, the thought. Do you understand now? Or even now you have big doubt?
I do have a doubt.
What is the doubt?
Maharaj, I, for example, I am... When I died in my previous birth, then I did not want to die then.
Yeah.
But my samskara, my prarabdha just ran out, right? But I did not want to die. My pranas didn't want to die.
That is what you think.
I wanted to die, no.
Yes, we all want to die. Mm. When the time comes, we have programmed ourselves to die. At a particular time, if you want to be more, even more precise, we all come, I said, with an expiry
date.
And who put that expiry date?
Me.
Our own karma has made the expiry date. Who is making the schedule?
Me.
We have made the schedule. Simple thing. Expand. You put this to some use. So you are going to work at, say, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, and you come back at 4:30.
Right.
So who made up this rule?
Yeah.
Huh? The company made up or you made up?
Company.
Apparently the company made.
Yeah.
But why did you join that company? Who joined that company?
No,
did
they
put, did they put a gun behind you and then make you join? You have voluntarily joined. Because if you want some other, if you didn't want to work from 7:30 to 4:30, there is a job in library for 3 hours. You could have joined that one. You know, we don't seem to think like that. Anything that we do, we are doing because of our desire. Nobody is, the company has not put a gun behind you and say, you have to come, you have voluntarily chosen. Then you accept it. If I want this much of money and this particular work, then I will accept this. Without your consent, you would not have joined it. You voluntarily joined it.
Okay. Oh.
In the same way, you see, death is the most desirable thing when life becomes too impossible to live. Is it not a fact? Don't
yes.
we wish to die?
Yes.
Huh. We wish to die. So we ourselves put through our karma, and either earlier or sooner, we are where we are born, and in what with what body we are born.
All the circumstances.
Everything we are manufacturing through our karmas. You cannot blame somebody is made you to be born at this time and make you willy nilly. The thing is. We know perfectly well at this time we have to die. But meanwhile, we have become so attached to the present experiences, we do not wish to die. Sometimes. Sometimes we definitely do wish to die.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Maharaj, this expiry date, is it like, even before we are born, we have...
Absolutely. You know, it's like you are planning a business visit. And suppose your company sends you to go to India and do some work and come back. Don't you plan? On this day I will go and on this day I come back. Don't you do that? So are you not putting an expiry date on your job? It is exactly how this is a journey. And this is what we say, we go to this place, we are born at this place, this is the what I would like to accomplish during this period, and at this time I want certainly to return. It looks impossible, as though, because we don't seem to have done this deliberately, we are not conscious that we put our own date, birth date and death date. But that is what exactly, who else is doing? Otherwise you have to say somebody else is doing. Who is that somebody? Hinduism doesn't accept that. Hinduism doesn't say God has anything to do with your birth. He is especially paying attention to you. I don't think you are too privileged.
Why would anybody choose a very painful life?
You know, Rina, this is again a sort of silly question. There are people and who go on eating all sorts of things, unable to digest. Don't you see that? Then who wants to suffer? Tell me. Ask that fellow. Do you want to suffer? Will he say that I want to suffer? I am deliberately planning to suffer. Will he say? What will he say?
I want to live healthy.
I want to enjoy. I want to live a healthy life, isn't it? But his actions do not show that he is following his own agenda. What he wants is, it's just like, you know, what do you know what I did before marriage?
Anything I wanted to do.
So it is like that. I want to enjoy, but I don't want to pay the penalty of my enjoyment. Yeah. Otherwise, who doesn't want to get married? Everybody would rush, sadhus also would rush to get into marriage, if it were to be absolutely pleasant.
Yes.
You didn't say that beautiful this, you know. Mother is asking the son, what type of wife you want? Chandanika, na sirf biwi chahiye, jo raat ko aaye, subah chale chahiye. Like the beautiful, like the moon.
Moonlight.
Like the moon, come at night and disappear in the moon. If problem comes, then the moon doesn't disappear in the daytime. That is when the
So, before taking birth, we decide our, we know, or we kind of decide our expiry date.
Yeah.
But when we live, is there a possibility that that expiry date is progressed or retrogressed or, you know, moves forward?
Very exceptional cases, by the grace of God, it can be extended. Or, exceptional cases, we can cut it short through suicide. That is why suicide is considered as a heinous crime. To escape. We can't escape really. It is, we only postpone our sufferings. But otherwise, we have already fixed. Once we are on the escalator, there is no way we can go back until it reaches the end. It is like that. Once you are in the mid flight, you say, oh, I have forgotten something, I want to go back. That's not possible.
if we do intense sadhana and
as I said, God can do anything. By God's grace, anything can happen. But the point we are discussing here is that we only are responsible for our own karma. There is no doubt about it. If somebody says, no, I'm not, okay, you go ahead with your idea, but that doesn't change anything. Thing has to go on. That's why, you know, today we were discussing, plan for health, plan for happiness. Who wants to be unhealthy? Tell me.
No.
But there is one thing to say we want to be healthy, another thing to say we plan to be healthy. What is it to be planning for health?
To develop some
executing.
That means? No. Executing means you must have a plan to execute. You have a plan. This is the type of food I would like to eat. This is the quantity, this is the time, this is the exercise I will do, etc. Is it not? That is what people join the gyms and other things. What is the point of joining the gyms? When they don't control themselves in any other way, what is the point of joining the gyms? That doesn't help much. Yeah.
One person was standing in the for the elevator to come. Once he reached the fifth floor. He then started the stairmaster
exercise.
He's going to do the stairmaster, but he was actually waiting for the elevator to
and take it. He did not climb the stairs.
So plan for happiness. Who doesn't want to be happy? We all want to be happy. But do we plan to be happy? There is a definite plan. The scripture tells us, if you want to be happy in this world, you have to do these things. If you want to be happy after death, then you will have to do these things, you know, yagnas, yagas and all those things. Certain code of conduct. You should not hurt other people, you should sacrifice your selfishness, you should try to serve punya, get punya. So punya leads to happiness. Punya actually means happiness. Papa means what? Suffering. See, punya karma is karma. But punya, the karma, the result of certain karmas is called we accumulate merit, punya. Or we accumulate papa. Punya converts itself into happiness. Papa converts itself into
suffering.
Yes. Again through what is called karmas. You follow that? Mm-hmm. What it is? See, punya, how do you enjoy? Suppose you have accumulated punya. As a result of that, certain instruments will come to you, which will facilitate your happiness. You know, supposing a good jatharagni, and a place where you have plenty of money to buy, and a place where first class rasagullas are available readily. These three circumstances come together. The result of this would be that state of mind which you will feel, I am very happy. You feel I am very happy. If it is papa, exactly the same thing. Circumstances will be very unfavorable. Then you feel, oh, I am not happy. So you see, planning for anything. You are planning for in ordinary things. You are planning every day your life, are you not?
Yes.
Today we will cook this. I will study this particular subject. Then I will pass, be a doctor or an engineer or IT, and I will go and stay at such. You are planning at every stage of your life.
Yes. So you are planning your karma.
So why are you not planning for punya? Why do you think punya will drop from the sky? That's what everybody is expecting. It's called lottery ticket mentality. Yeah. It is not going to happen. We have to earn punya. Nobody can give you punya. Of course, if you serve people like Sri Ramakrishna, because he doesn't want punya, whatever punya he does comes to your share. But you must accumulate lot of punya
to get.
You simply are not going to get.
When we are going through these koshas,
yeah,
at any given time it includes all the lower koshas.
Naturally.
So,
like, you know, yesterday I told, if you are carrying $100 bill,
yeah,
it includes everything that is below $100. Is it not?
Yes.
So in that case, from that, yeah, so basically mana is not only the source of prana, but also source of anna. And
it's so illustrated.
Like
Maybe a person who has realized mind is Brahman, then he forgives everybody. Because if some people do something bad, utter criticize harsh words, why do you think he does it? If he knows he is only causing his own unhappiness, will he do it? Ignorance. That's why Thakur used to forgive people, you know. Ma odher or ki dosha chhe. Say, what is his fault? After all, he doesn't understand. What is the source of this forgiveness?
Mind.
The mind.
The identification.
The thoughts in his mind. Yeah, it is all very mysterious thing. So when a person attains to this state, then what happens is, everything he thinks is real. And only sacred thoughts will come into his mind. That is the idea. All his thoughts are, any thought that comes into his mind is sacred. Why? Because for such a person, he has done so much tapasya. What do you think he was thinking before attaining to that state? Only pure thoughts. That is why whatever thoughts come into his mind, they become
pure.
Real. If the person thinks today it must be very sunny, then it becomes sunny. Like stories, Puranic stories. A chaste woman says, the sun must stand there. And immediately it stands there. It cannot, because if the sun sets, her husband will die. He says, you should never set. And the sun cannot go. So, the result is, her husband cannot die. Our Savitri story, she followed Yamadhar Maharaja. And ultimately he had to give back the life. You know the story?
Mm-hmm.
Savitri?
No.
Oh, it's a very famous. Mm-hmm. Savitri and Satyavan. So they were married. Savitri married this, he was a prince, her husband was a prince. For some reason, they were thrown out of the kingdom. They were living in a forest. And also his parents became blind. So, it was ordained that Savitri marries this man. But it was Narada also predicted to Savitri before marriage. Your husband has got only short span of life. She says, doesn't matter, I love him. So I am going to marry him only. So she marries him, comes to stay in the forest. The man is looking after his parents. So the time had come, he went out to the woods and the Yamadhar Maharaja comes, takes his prana and he is going away. So Narada told Savitri, on such and such a date it will happen. So she was watching out. The moment he fell down, he said, I am tired and I lie down, and immediately stopped breathing, she knew. But she, because of her chastity, she could see Yama Dharmaraja undertaking the jiva of her husband. So she was following him. So Yama Dharmaraja says, no, you can't come. He says, I will come. If you can, try to stop me. Yama Dharmaraja couldn't stop her because she really loved her husband. She was so chaste. So to thwart her, he says, I am pleased with your devotion to your husband. I will give one bone. He says, give one bone. Let my in-laws get back their sight and kingdom. Granted. But she didn't say that I will stop following you. If you want to give boon, fine. Then Yama Dharmaraja says that now I will give you another boon. Okay, if you have to give another boon, let me have 100 sons. He says, yes. Yes, all right, give me back my husband. How can I have sons? You know, then he realized, without thinking, it is our way of making fun. But really speaking, do you think Yama Dharmaraja didn't know? He knew. He was pleased. willingly he was, let you know, like parents, willingly they get defeated by their children. So willingly he gave the bone. Then he comes back. It is to illustrate that a chaste woman is as great as any tapasvi in this world, can do anything she likes. To illustrate, to inspire wives to be chaste, which is absolutely true. There is a point there. So many people misinterpret. Say, oh, if we are, it is only women have to be chaste, why not men? Yes, the scriptures tell the men also must be chaste, not only the women. So, but then for women, that is a way of spirituality, because they are bound at home. So how can it be spirituality to consider who can be really chaste? As God. Because otherwise comparisons will come. That man is more beautiful, that man is more talented, man is rich. These comparisons, invariably they will come. Whereas, if she considers the husband as God, it is serving to these two purposes. On social level, her mind will never stray. But on the spiritual level, he is not a human being. He is God himself. So she is cooking for whom? For God. She is serving whom? God. If she is entertaining that idea, whether he is God or not is the point. In her mind, she is only thinking about God. As a result, she becomes a God realized soul. That was the story Swamiji illustrates in that Karma Yoga. So that is the truth we have to understand. We should always think, if the other person is not God-like, why should I think that person is God? Is it not a hallucination? No. It is not a hallucination. Because as far as you are concerned, that person after some time will appear as God if you consistently go on thinking about it. You see, that means there is no objective God as such. It is impossible. God is only a concept, subjective concept in our minds. That is the whole point. The whole world for an ordinary person remains exactly the same world. But for those who realize Anam Brahmeti Vejanath, it is water. For one person, it is just water. For another person, it is a sacred river. See? It is a subject. Do you find any change in the chemical composition? No, but it makes a lot of difference for the person who looks upon something as sacred.
Well, again, a person like Vibhu, when he is going through these different koshas, sincerely, and hasn't reached the ultimate state, can his thought be absolutely pure?
No.
Not until he goes beyond the koshas?
Yeah, until he goes, reaches the highest state, but at a particular stage, he will become perfect. Like, you know, supposing you want to be a doctor, and you have attended 3 years of medical college. The final course is 6 years, but you attended 3 years. And very seriously you studied 3 years. So whatever knowledge you obtained until 3 years, that cannot be nullified.
You mastered
that. Yes, you know that much. It is just like that. Until he attains the highest, whichever kosha he has reached, he will reap the benefits of considering that kosha. He will become master of that kosha. Because he is in contact with the universal source of that kosha. This is the truth, you know. You are a poor man, but supposing this poor, you are adopted by a rich man. Have you got all the access to all his money and other things? Have you not got? So this is, he is identifying himself with Brahman at that level. So whatever is possible for that person to enjoy or to experience at that stage, he will get all that. So he had realized his mind. Now you understand, mind is what inspires. Mind can give life. Mind also can take away life. You see, if you cultivate the company of enthusiastic people, joyous people, then you will feel joyous, is it not? And the vice versa also happens. If you join people who are very inspiring, you will become inspired. Yeah, otherwise, what is the point of reading inspired talks? Yeah, why are they called inspired talks? Why do you feel so strong when you study Swami Vivekananda? Why? Because he was of that type.
Yeah.
And you read some atheists, Richard Dawkins or people like that, here so many stupid people are there. After some time, you lose whatever little faith in God you have also, you will lose. This is the truth. Whatever company you keep, either physically or intellectually, you also slowly transform into that type, is it not? So, mind is very important and we are influenced. How much we are influenced? By reading the particular newspapers. If you read newspapers edited by Democratic Party, then you will be inspired by their you will approve their ideas. The opposite party, then you will disapprove these people's ideas. See, it is happening. Whole nations are changing by ideas. Russia, whole Russia was influenced by Marxist ideas for so many years. Here, they are being inspired by some of these democratic ideas in this country. That is why this developed in one particular way. But even now, people are influenced by very negative type of ideas. You know, there are so many states. We are living in 21st century. And they are insisting they should only teach what is called your biblical version of creation and all those things. Yeah, fight is going on. Even now, they call it creationism. Yeah, creationism and Darwin's theory of evolution. Some states say both, you teach both. What do you mean by both? Where is the conflict? Both means what? This is also true. This is also true. The child gets confused. How you can both be true? Is there any irreconcilable difference between these two? India never experienced this problem at all. That is another problem, this is another realm, this is another realm. Why do you mix up both? So much stupidity is going on here now. In the name of religion, in the name of understanding these things. Anyway, this is not our realm. What is the point? Mind, it gives birth to everything.
Yeah.
No, a man wants to get married. For what comes first, the idea or the marriage?
The idea
comes first. Some people don't want. So the idea dictates. Somebody wants to be a doctor. Then the idea. Ideas come first. Whatever it be, good idea, bad idea, it comes first. And that can, somebody may join a military. What do you think military people will do? They will fight, they will kill, is it not? Some people become research workers to fight cancer and diseases and all. What are they doing? Everything is springs. The whole world springs from what?
Idea.
From an idea. So that is. So he understood. Then again same problem has come. He had a doubt. Is there anything higher than the mind? Then he approached his father. And again he said, I told you, whoever is the boss of the mind, that must be the cause, the origin. So he says, what did he read? Vijnanam brahmeti vyajana vijnanathyeva kalvimani bhutani jayante vijnanena jatani jivante vijnanam prayantya visam vishanti tadvignaya punariva varunam pitaram upasasara adhihi bhagavo brahmeti tagum ho vacha tapasa brahma vijignasasva tapo brahmeti satapo tapyata satapastatva. Then he realized the mind itself is born out of something else. I mean, thoughts are born of something else. What are thoughts born of? Understanding. You understand this gives me happiness. Then you do that. You understand this gives me pain. You avoid it. Whether it is right or wrong is a different issue. Whatever be your understanding, your behavior is dictated by your... Is it not true? Your understanding is, if I watch cricket display, and I will be a happy person. If I eat this particular sweet, I will be... Do you think your stomach knows? Stomach only knows what is the right ingredient and right quantity. It doesn't know whether South Indian cooking is better or North Indian cooking is better. It is all habit. See how much we quarrel? Vijnanam brahmeti vyajana. So vijnana means what here?
Understanding.
Understanding is the mother of all thoughts. In fact, understanding is guided again by something else. We will come to that soon. But here, understanding. So when a person realizes that understanding is Brahman, because where from this understanding is coming? Chit. See, again from another point of view, from Sat. So Annamaya Kosha, Pranamaya Kosha is Sat. Then Manomaya Kosha and Vijnanamaya Kosha is Chit. And Anandamaya Kosha is Ananda. So the understanding also belongs to whom? It is a characteristic of the self in manifestation, Chit. Chit means understanding, thinking, awareness. So understanding is Brahman. When a man realizes that this understanding is Brahman, then what happens is that every understanding comes from whom? Right or wrong, every understanding comes from whom? From Brahman only. It means, who is guiding? Shakali Tomari Icha. So who does mother make a person go down? She puts her foot and then pushes, kicks him up. Or she puts her foot on the head and pushes him. What does she do? What does mother do? How does she elevate a person or degenerate a person?
That
type of understanding. A wrong understanding she gives. Who gives the wrong understanding? It's only mother. Ya devi sarva bhuteshu bhranti rupena samstha. It is she who gives. That is why in the Gita also it says, matta smritir jnanam apohanancha. From me. Mattaha means from me. Not that matta. Matta huye. Bund huye pade thaka. Bund huye pade thaka le bundi. Bundi lo do hai jabi. No. What is mattaha? From me. Spring what? Jnanam apohana. Smriti hi jnana and apohana. Smriti means memory. Jnana comes from smriti. Our understanding comes from what? From smriti. You see, you ate rasagulla. Then that experience becomes a memory. Next time that memory, you see, it is that rasagulla was very good. Actually, jnana is nothing but memory, remembering past experience. See?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, where do samskaras play the role?
Samskaras shape in which way what we remember and how we remember. Yeah. But all these samskaras, they follow only our knowledge. First of all, you have to be very clear. What is a samskara? An impression. What is? How does an impression form?
By experience.
By habit. Again and again. You drive your car from point A to point B through some route. If you have done it 1,000 times, after that you don't think 100 times, which way should I go? What do you do? You go, you follow that route, is it not? That's what you do. You are taking us to any house, unless you happen to forget. But if you make a habit, then you remember every turn, every house, even though unconsciously. You know, your mind says, "Arey, this is a tree, after this I have to turn to the right. After I have to..." Even though consciously you don't do it. First time it takes in, next time it re-impresses, until it becomes a clear-cut, well-outlined map. So that is called samskara. So what are you doing in the samskara? How do you go make a habit? What is that you make a habit?
By understanding.
And what is understanding? Memory. What is memory? Whichever is pleasant experience, you repeat it. Whichever is unpleasant experience, you try to avoid it. So you see, as an example, you know, I like idli. So how did I come to like idli? Through habit. Simple. These people don't like idli. You people don't like idli so much, especially without chutney. Would you like to eat idli without chutney?
Never.
So, what is it actually that is tasty for?
Already habit has formed.
No. It is the chutney which is more desirable. But chutney by itself cannot be taken.
No, Maharaj, it could be the combination.
No. Always there is an element, because you prefer chutney. You suppose idli is not there. Chutney is there, rice is there. What will you do?
I'll eat chutney.
Chutney is there and chapati is there. What will you do? But without chutney, will you eat idli?
No.
So, what I'm saying is that idli is there to help enjoy that
chutney.
This is the simple truth.
So Maharaj, so always in any of the combination, so one thing because of the other?
Is it not true? Okay, let me give you another illustration, same food taking. Suppose you say, this dal is very good. What is actually dal? Lentils, pure lentils. You can, if you like dal only, purely boil and eat. No, it should be eaten in a, you must add a particular type of spices. So which is more attractive?
Spice.
Yeah, but the nature of the spices is, you can't directly eat the spices. They must be combined with something else. So which is primary and which is secondary?
Spices is primary.
If you ask your tongue, spices is primary, dal is second. If you ask your stomach,
dal is primary.
And spices are secondary or not necessary. See? So we will come to that point. But the point here is, samskara means through habit. Habit is always the result of our past experience, understanding. Understanding is memory. So the memory tells you, this is very good, do this, repeat it. You repeat it. As a result of repeating, that impression becomes strong. This is called samskara. And you act without thinking through samskara. It has benefit. The benefit is you don't need to expend energy or time every time in thinking, what shall I do, what shall I eat, through which way I should go. 100 times you don't need to think. Once you are habituated, it saves time.
But Maharaj, some of the samskaras are bad samskaras and we need to get rid of them.
So now, when you say some samskaras bad, you have to be very careful. Some samskaras are, you call them bad from one point of view. The same samskaras you call good from another point of view, is it not?
Yes.
Say for example, if somebody wants to eat non-vegetarian food. So from the worldly point of view, or you want to buy 100 pieces of dresses. From a worldly point of view, is it the more pieces you have, the more non-vegetarian, the better? From a spiritual point of view, it is just the opposite, is it not? So you have to judge from which point of view you are talking about. So if you decided not to be spiritual, just purely worldly, then giving up these things will not only be not good, it will be positively detrimental to your worldly happiness. Yeah, that is where the conflict comes. If one partner is spiritual, another partner is worldly, invariably there will be a conflict. If both are worldly, not much problem. If both are spiritual, not much problem. But if the other way, then that is going to be wrong. So that is the problem in the office also. See, the employer wants to squeeze as much work as he can from the employee. The employee wants to do as minimum work as possible. That is where the conflict of interest lies, isn't it? Anyway, so understanding is Brahman because it comes from God. It is Brahman. So what happens when a person realizes, then he becomes very, what is called, grateful, humble. Because all knowledge, vijnana also means knowledge. Knowledge means what?
Understanding.
Where from does it come? There is a level of Brahman from where the most creative ideas come down. When our mind is pure, we attain to that state. When we attain to that state, it is a realm of what? Understanding. Knowledge. We call it in general knowledge. Knowledge means understanding, not information. Understanding, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, supposing, just imagine there is a tank and it is full of water, good water. And there is a red colored pipe. There is a green colored pipe. There is a blue colored pipe. Further imagine that these are not of exactly of the same dimension. Red colored is small, blue colored is big, and green colored is still bigger. Just imagine, right? When the water starts flowing through that, how does the water appear? Isn't it? That is one illustration. Another illustration also, just to make the point clear. Imagine at the end of every tube there is a special flavored something. Even as soon as the water goes through, past that, it will give that particular flavor. Lemon flavor, or pineapple flavor, rose flavor, or strawberry flavor. So the person who drinks that water, what flavors does he get? Those particular flavors? Now you understand what I am going to tell you. If a person's mind is trained in music, when he attains to that state, that knowledge flows and expresses in what form?
Music.
If he is a scientific mind, what form the expression comes?
Science.
If a person is moral, then what form it takes? Morality. If a person is a poetic mind, then what form it takes place? The source is one. But because the person trained the mind in a particular mould, it takes on that particular mould. See how wonderful it is? It is the same Brahma. That is why Sri Ramakrishna says, if somebody can sing well, play well, write well, speak well, or any, he does extraordinarily above average, above others, then that power he should be considered as God, because his talent is coming from God. That's what?
The cloth can be dyed to any color.
Something like that. So, that is another illustration. Yad vibhuti mat sattvam srimadur jitamevava tatadeva avagachatvam amatejvamsha sambhav. Bhagavad Gita, Vibhuti Yoga. Wherever you find some excellence, you know that it is my power which is manifesting there. So it is at this level that all the great people, whoever is great, his greatness is because of he could access. This is the stack, the resource sources from this source. That is why do tapasya for anything. You want to be a great king? Do tapasya. You want to be a great musician? Tapasya. You want to be a great scientist? Do tapasya. You want to be any great in anything? Do tapasya. It's wonderful ideas, you know. So, understanding is the cause of mind, prana, anna. This, see how our karma affects us. Understanding is also karma. So that's why intelligent people, those who have knowledge, they get anything they want. See? Once they are in that position, they travel in the first class, live in first class homes, dress first classly, eat first class hotels, first class food, etc., etc., etc. Because they are all included. The higher you get up, the more you get. Wonderful. That is why knowledge is, they say, power. You can convert power into anything that you like. All right. So then he comes back, asks his father, that this is, I have a doubt, is this the end? Father says, whatever you have attained, that's absolutely right. But go and do again tapasya. Because the man has doubt. Otherwise he wouldn't have come back. Again he said, is there something else? The father said, yes, there is something else. So, how can I attain to that something else? Go on to do tapasya. So, he goes and does tapasya. This time, what does he say? What does he get? Anando brahmeti vyajanat. So, anandadhyeva kalvimani bhutani jayante, anandena jatani jivanti, anandam prati, prayanti abhisambhishanti iti. So, Bhrigu's siksha or training ended there because he never returns to his father again. Because he has it. Why do we do? What is it, the driving force? Either immediate happiness or expected happiness. A student goes through all these struggles, a Olympic participant, how much training he does. Why does he do? It is in hope of this glory. Glory is happiness. For you don't think happiness can be enjoyed in different ways. For some people, power is happiness. They don't care for anything. Even if they don't get food, they don't care. For some people, it is the ideas that give happiness. For some people, just eating is happiness. Some people, dressing is happiness. Some people, roaming is happiness.
Yeah.
Sure. That's why they go to Rome. You know, different people's idea, how I can be happy, is different. So, whatever we... the action, there is only one motive force. What is that motive force?
Yes.
Happiness. Why? Because happiness is the nearest expression of Brahman, Self, Sat, Chit and Ananda. So, but this Anandamaya Kosha also is
a kosha.
His training was not complete, but he doesn't come back because there is no further kosha to be attained. The next is, when a person attains to this kosha, Sri Ramakrishna's example can be understood. Suppose there is a thief and he comes to know invaluable treasure in the neck. There is a very thin partition. Does he come to you and say, do you think I should do it? Do you think he will do that? Simply like a moth running into the light, he will rush. Nobody can stop. When a person attains to this state, Anandamaya Kosha, he doesn't want to remain and enjoy Ananda. He wants to become Ananda. Chini hote chai, chini khete chai. If Raja Maharaj was asked by one devotee, so there is a saying, I want to be sugar. No, I want to eat sugar. I don't want to be sugar. Then he said, that is the statement of people who haven't really tasted sugar. Once they taste the sugar, they don't want to enjoy sugar. They want to be sugar. Definitely, the Bengalis must be knowing what they are talking about. That is what you know. First they eat sugar and afterwards they become the
sugar
cubes. So, what happens? When a person attains to this state, then everything brings happiness to any event, because he sees Brahman only in the event. Suppose somebody is walking and a tiger comes and eats him up. What do you think he will experience?
Happiness.
Only happiness. Yes.
Yeah.
That is how father plays. Death is no death.
Yeah.
You're looking forward to die. It is a wonderful state.
Yeah.
Anandamaya Kosha. There is, means what? There is no Niranandaya at all. So anything that happens only brings, whether they are eating good things, bad, bitter things, sweet things, something is happening, not happening. Oh, the whole life is Ananda and Ananda. Sometimes we can see in children, you know. Whole day they are passing from one joy to the other joy. Any stick will do. They will play. If they get a companion, my God, they will forget the whole lot. Have you noticed?
Mm-hmm.
As soon as the other day we were having in satsanga, there were about 50, 60 people were there in Detroit. So there were 3-4 children. One child was very bold. What happened to of those children? They were took out their notebooks and started drawing. That child, one child, who is completely unrelated, she looked. First few minutes she hesitated. I saw her.
Yeah.
So I said, come here. Immediately she jumped up and came, sat down.
Oh.
She didn't have anything. So I told them, give her an empty page. And she was given. Furiously she started drawing.
Mm-hmm.
Very happy. Very soon became friends with everybody. You see, whole day is passing from one play to the other. They eat, they sleep. Do they know anything called unhappiness? So if that is ordinary, people could do that. Why do you think that realized souls? That is why Sachidananda Sagare. No. Is Hari Maharaj told, no sir, you are not suffering. You are swimming in Sachidananda Sagare. And Shala Dhurechari. Was it simply agreeing, nodding his head?
No.
That was what he is doing all the time. Because at that stage, there is no cancer, there is no death. You see, death to the body. What is death? For us, death means non-existence. Yeah. For them, death is a promotion, is going to a higher. If you are promoted, will you weep? Oh, this beautiful chair, this horrible species, and I have to leave all this and go. Saisha Bhargavi Varuni Vidya. This teaching has been named as Bhargavi. Bhrigu had attained realization. That's why it is called Bhargavi. And Varuna had taught it. That is why it is called Varuni. Parame Vyoman Pratishthita. This is the highest. This Vidya is established. This is the highest teaching. Nobody can teach any further than this. After that, the person himself will go. You know, there is a self, like self-starter. Mm-hmm. Until this stage, it is self-starter. Afterwards, the person himself will go.
So, would this also be the step in Ishopnishad where it says that there is Hiranmaya Patrino,
where
is
covered? Yes. This all. All Upanishads are telling exactly the same thing. Once a person realizes God, then there is nothing, even if he goes nearer to God. This is life. You know, the Ramakrishna says when just before the sunrise, the whole eastern horizon becomes pinkish. So, Anandamaya, Kosha, but it is Kosha. Very soon what happens? The sun will rise, sun of knowledge, and then this dawn and everything will merge in it.
Again, when one goes through these koshas and at any given time succeeds in identifying with Brahman, and then he further questions the jignasa.
There can be no jignasa.
No, not at the end. I'm talking about in the intermediate stage.
Yeah.
Is there, intrinsically, is there any difference between when he is jignasa reached, like after pranamaya to manamaya kosha, and let's say vijnanamaya kosha to anandamaya kosha, the jignasa intrinsically are they different? The nature of that jignasa become, the fact that he's becoming purer and purer.
Yes. I couldn't get the question properly. What is it?
Well, I think what he's asking is the level of questioning, the jignasa, will it get more refined as we are going from once? Because the word is Brahman. When one identifies that, okay, Annam is Brahman, right? Brahman is the highest, highest absolute truth. So from Annamaya Kosha to Pranamaya Kosha, the kind of jignasa that's going to come, would this level of jignasa be different, though it is identified with Brahman, would it be different from Pranamaya Kosha to Manamaya Kosha?
Let me give the illustration. Suppose you are standing at the foot of a hill and you say, how nice it would be if I can go to the top of the hill and enjoy this beautiful view. Then slowly as you start climbing and trying to reach the top of that hill in front of you, will not your horizon increase with each step higher? You are able to see more and more and more. Then imagine you reach the top of the hill. As soon as you reach the top of the hill, immediately you discover there is another hill higher than the first hill, which you could not see from the bottom. As soon as you go there, then it is very visible. Then you feel that it would be very nice if I can go to the top of this hill. See, when you reach that, you will see there is one behind. When you reach that, there is one behind. Until you reach the highest and there is nothing more.
But so, the other part of my question was, even though there is a like one step difference between Annamaya to Pranamaya, Pranamaya to Manamaya, is it same experience, let's say, going from Vijnana to Anandamaya or Manamaya to Vijnana?
If it is the same experience, where is the quest? Why should a person want another experience? When, see, what you are asking is, if it is the same experience, that is the final.
No, not the same experience, meaning at Manamaya Kosha, the fact that he is trying to go into Vijnanamaya, he thinks that there is something beyond Manamaya Kosha.
Yeah.
So finally he reaches Vijnanamaya Kosha
yeah.
with that inquiry or inquisitiveness or jignasa.
Yeah.
But he had the same thing, same jignasa when he went from Pranamaya to Manamaya Kosha.
Yeah.
Even though those two are like, two, from one step to another one, the next step actually.
Mm.
But are they different, that jignasa, when he is going from Vijnanamaya Kosha to Anandamaya Kosha, that jignasa, is it of the same nature as going from Pranamaya to Manamaya Kosha?
I think you are not understanding your own question properly, if I understand you correctly. The nature of jignasa is exactly the same. Let me try to put, see whether that satisfies you. Supposing you are very hungry. Very, very hungry. Then you are given this much of food. It satisfies your hunger this much, isn't it? Is your hunger fully satisfied? Fully satisfied?
No.
The hunger still remains. So what is it? I am hungry. I want to have more food. That is one level. Another level is even better food. At every step, first food is ordinary food and this much. Second food is much better in quality and larger. So until your hunger is completely removed, your quest will be the same. I want, my hunger is not satisfied, I want to have more and more until you can't stop, until you are completely satisfied. So what happens is, in Ananda, so we are talking about Ananda. The Ananda which one gets when a person realizes this Annamaya Kosha yields this much Ananda. But he is not satisfied with this. Naturally, it will lead to the higher type of Ananda. It is Ananda, but it is not of the same quality. That is what we do in ordinary day-to-day life. When you have no job, you are quite satisfied, and you get a 100 rupee job, isn't it? And will that stop you? Say, I am completely free. What do you do? Now next year, horizon, if I get 1,000 rupee job, that will be much better. Is it not? When you reach 1,000 rupees job, will you be happy? You see, one leads to the other. So, the quantity and quality of happiness is definitely different from one stage to the other stage. That is why in the introduction I had already mentioned, only after studying the second valley, one goes to the third valley. What is the topic of the second valley? Brahmananda Mimamsa. What does it say? You studied somewhat. Says, if there is a young man and he is full of vigor, energy, power, intelligent, enthusiastic, and he owns this whole world. That is one measure of human happiness. But if he attains to the state of Gandharvas, then 100 times the human, and not
oh,
measured,
yes, yes.
You see, the, it goes on and on. So that is what he is indicating, that at every step, it is not merely quantitative expansion. Because quantitatively, your ananda will be the same, whether you eat this much of rice or this much of rice, there is a limit. Once you reach that limit, it won't yield you this much bit of better happiness. But supposing this rice next time is, let us say, lemon rice or tamarind rice or whatever rice, spiced rice, ghee bath. Is the ghee bath same level as ordinary rice?
No.
Not only quantitatively, but qualitatively, the ananda level increases. So it is the nature of happiness that we want to attain infinite as well as eternal happiness. So that means there is no happiness which is excluded, and there is no time we should be broken.
Right.
The highest qualitative happiness. Qualitative happiness, that is why they call it quality of a material. Quality of the worker. This you get every time marks. Based on what? Quantity. You will measure you and say how much quantity will give you marks according to the quantity.
Well, they define in the office, in the company, quality is something when the customer comes back, not the products.
Yes, whatever it is. They have their own, and the customer will never return unless the quality. Nobody is such a fool that he is going to come back, see, the Tirthankar is a very nice person, I will buy the same. Business is business. They are also intelligent. They want better quality things at cheapest rates. Is it not a fact?
Yes.
This way quality, improve. That is the nature of progress. Now you cannot go back. It is not possible. Nobody wants to buy one channel TV anymore. Yeah. More channels, better. Now you see, are you satisfied with the answer? Yeah. It is the quest, the hunger is the same. But the hunger is not for the same. The hunger is for the ananda, but because already if he has attained the same type of ananda, why should he, why does he want higher type? A higher type means higher quality. Yeah. And also
quantity
as
also.
Quantity means you can enjoy more identification. And when you reach the peak and you know instinctively there is nothing further, then you won't hunger for anything further. Yeah. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti.